Welcome to Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua of Christ Is All Ministries. We're all good at thanking the wrong things. The paycheck comes in, we thank the job. The business turns a profit, we credit the strategy. A gift arrives at the right moment, we're grateful to the person who gave it. None of that's wrong, but we end up building our security on channels, and channels can run dry. Paul writes to a church in real need and says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Not some needs, all of them. And if you've ever lain awake wondering whether there'll be enough, this is for you. In today's message titled, "Recognizing God as Source and Provider," Evangelist Paul Acqua reminds us that God is not just a part of our supply, he is the source of it all. Let's join in.
The Bible makes us understand that God is the ultimate source of life. He is the source of provision and source of strength, rather than relying on human resources or material possessions. Did you know that God meets all needs? God is the source of all things. He meets every need that you need. Bible says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. The NIV says it this way, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Some of the translations would say he supplies all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the source of all things. Yet for us, there is only one God, the Father, who is the source of all things. That's recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. I read it from the Amplified Version. It says, "Yet for us, there is only one God, the Father, who is the source of all things." My friend, God is your source of provision. He is your source. Every perfect gift comes from him. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Hallelujah. Psalms 31 verse 19 tells us about the great goodness God has stored up for those who fear him. Bible says in John 15:5 that apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's just telling us and letting us know that he is the source of fruitfulness. Without him, you can do nothing. You may think you're doing something, but at the end of the day, it's nothing without God. God is the ultimate source. Your job or other avenues are merely channels. God is the source behind every blessing. So depend on God, rely on God rather than man, or rely on God rather than wealth. God is the only one who will give you true security. So provision and life is provided by God. He is the provider of physical needs. He's the provider of spiritual needs. He is the provider of everything. So a scripture like Psalms 37 verse 25 reminds us that when we trust in him, he remains faithful to meet our needs. You see, throughout life, if you trust in God, he is a faithful God to actually meet your needs. So God is the source of everything we need. So allow him to be your source of provision. God is our ultimate source and provider. And you know, recognizing God as the ultimate source stops a mindset of lack. You see, you may think you are lacking anything. And you know, if you really recognize that he is your source, it will stop a mindset of lack and fear. And this reminds me of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 teaches that a Sabbath rest remains for the children of God, which is a present spiritual rest found trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ rather than human works. Christ died on the cross and said it is finished. And there is a Sabbath rest for that. Entering this rest means ceasing from self-reliant efforts to actually achieve your needs, but resting in the finished work of Christ, just as God rested from his work of creation. When God finished creation, Bible says he rested. It doesn't mean he was tired and needed to rest, but everything was done. And that's the same way we have to rely on the finished work of God. This was what the Sabbath was supposed to be in the Old Testament, the Sabbath rest. The Bible describes that when the Israelites observed the Sabbath day and the Sabbath year, they were promised and experienced exponential prosperity, I tell you, which were different from their neighbors because they operated under a covenant where God was recognized as their ultimate source and provider. Hallelujah. They observed the Sabbath during those times and they found themselves prospering than their neighbors or all the people around them. You need to understand that even though we work and toil, is God that supernaturally supplies. So that was back during the time that nobody on the planet Earth took one day out of seven off. Why? Because it was a time that they were struggling to make ends meet. And yet God's people took one day out of seven off. And instead of having less, they had more. God blessed them and they prospered more than all of the nations around them that were working 7 days a week. Hallelujah. Why? Because God was their source. So let me refer you to Leviticus chapter 25. So you can see the miracle in it. He told Israelites, take one day off. And that time, nobody took any day off because it was a struggle to actually meet your needs. But he said, you are my children, take one day off. In Leviticus chapter 25, Bible says God commanded that for 6 years the Israelites could sow and harvest. But on the seventh year was to be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land. No sowing or no reaping the seventh year. They had to take 1 year out of seven off and they couldn't plant any crops. They couldn't reap what grew naturally of their field. They couldn't plant, they couldn't reap, and they couldn't do any work. They had to take 1 year out of seven and turn it into a Sabbath year. Hallelujah. Do you know that the natural mind says, oh, if I do that, I'm going to starve. If I do that, how can I survive? And to ensure their survival during the following year, God promised supernatural abundance, a triple blessing in the sixth year, providing enough produce to last for 3 years. So the sixth, the seventh, and until the eighth year harvest. Hallelujah. Our God is a miracle-working God. He is your source. Obey him, and I tell you, you will eat the good of the land. So God told them this. If the people ask, how will we survive during the seventh year? He says, I will give you 3 times a normal harvest that will last you through the sixth year, the seventh year, when you are not working, and through the eighth year as you plant your crops and were waiting for harvest, I will give you all that multiple harvest. Hallelujah. And when they observed this Sabbath, God multiplied their effort. So observance of these laws was designed to teach reliance on God. Hallelujah. And so the whole point of this that I'm bringing up was to show that even though you work and even though you do things, it is not your work that produces prosperity. It is your covenant with God and God's blessings on your work that makes it work. Hallelujah. Not your effort. It's God's blessings that will make it work for you. And I tell you that it's a perfect picture of giving, you know. There are lots of people that would say, well, I would give, but if I were to give this money away, what would I eat? Well, if there wasn't a God who promised that when you give, it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over, then yeah, you are right, but there is a God. It's true that when you take a portion of what you have and give it out, you are worse off. But this is a God who says no, it's the opposite. Since we have a God who has promised that he is going to multiply what you give back to us, it is wisdom, my friend. It is your advantage to give a portion of what you have and trust Him, because God is your source of provision, not your job, not your talents, not your abilities, not your economy, not your government. I'm telling you. And many are making mistakes because they think they can provide by their own effort. No, if God doesn't back you up, if God doesn't give you, say, He gives you strength to acquire wealth. You know, in my ministerial trips and dealings with a lot of churches, I've come to realize that whenever it's on the news that there's going to be an economic downturn or recession, churches make wrong decisions. Ministries decrease their budget by certain amounts, I'm telling you. Or even some of them, they would draw from evangelical outreaches altogether, saying, oh, I don't have money. And they would draw because they are anticipating of decreased revenue because we are in a recession or economic downturn. Some people say, well, that's wisdom. No, that's unbelief. God says He will supply your needs. He said He will supply all your need according to, you see, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So our money should come from God and not from this world system. Our money is coming from the bank of heaven. And I know that there are some people who are listening right now to me and will say, well, this makes a good preaching stuff. But in reality, that doesn't work. I'm telling you, it works. Did you know that it was right after the COVID-19 hit that people were worried? And even a couple of years after, they were worried, living in fear because they were losing so much money, people losing their jobs and so on. And that's when God spoke to me and told me that I needed to build a Bible college. Since then, the ministry has spent several thousands of pounds on this project. That's in addition to our evangelical outreaches. I was asked to start this huge project during COVID-19. Now I got to start preparing to do that. And the ministry finances increased so much during that same time. Did you know it defies logic? Many ministries were cutting back. And sad to say, it really bothered me. But you see, we operate under different set of rules. You cannot do that. Even there was a survey among evangelical Christians. These aren't just the ones that claim to be Christian, but the one who answered questions, and their answers were consistent with born-again Christian. One of the survey questions was, how were they coping with the recession? And the number one way that Christians coped was to decrease their giving. They cut back. And that's absolutely the worst thing to do, my friend. God is your supplier. God will meet your needs. And the point was, in the Sabbath, even though you work and you plant seed and you till the land and you remove the rocks and do all of those things, God is the one who causes you to prosper. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual thing. And to prove it, 1 year out of seven, they took off and God supernaturally supplied their needs. Hallelujah. You see, so I'm telling you, brothers and sisters and those hearing me, I know that there are people who give when it's convenient. And you know, you may desire to give even more, but you are not committed. You are not consistent. You know, you have to be consistent, because the bottom line is, I am not saying that to rebuke you or something like that, but the bottom line is, you do not really see God as your source. If you are thinking and contemplating, if I give, what's going to happen? How will I survive? And so on. Because you think you have a lot of needs than what is in your hand. But I'm telling you, don't cut back. God will surprise you with provision. He will give you more than you expect. Because to Him who gives exceedingly abundantly above what we think or even ask, that's the God we serve. Just recognize Him as your source of provision, or as your source and provider. Hallelujah. Just learn from that Sabbath rest. People were working 24/7. He says, take 1 day off. Take 1 year out of seven off, and I will bless you. And surely God did that. We serve a faithful God. And if you are a Christian, rely on God. If you are born again Christian, recognize that God is your provider and your source. And if you are not, then this is not even applicable to you. You have a first step to take, and that to receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And if you will, you may pray this prayer after me, speaking every word from your heart. Say, "Dear Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner and need to be saved. I understand that Jesus died in my place and suffered all the judgment of my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he is at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen."
Thank you for joining us today on Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to tell a friend. Also, make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any prayer request, you can contact us at +44 787 945 6907. You can also visit www.ciamint.com for more resources to help you dig deeper into your Christian life. Christ is all ministries, sharing Christ, changing lives.